This is my second time to visit Miami. And I heard from David Zhen, this is a temple belonging to Vietnamese friends, Buddhist friends. And the abbot of this temple is Venerable Jinxin. He happened to be my old friend in Taiwan. I know him very well. As soon as I saw the picture, I recognized. For any place to start the first practice in Mahayana Buddhism, I think it's important to give the teaching of Kristigaba Sutra, which is to help you establish mentally and spiritually to prepare yourself. So I'm going to tell you particularly a new place just about to start Buddha Dhamma. I think this is a very important sutra. So I want to tell this to you for the next few nights. To practice Buddha Dhamma, we must first have a proper understanding of the Dhamma. Otherwise, we will not get the proper result. It will be very shameful. Therefore, we need to start from the very beginning to explain what is Buddha Dhamma and make us simplify report or summarized report on what is the Buddha Dhamma. The founder of Buddhism is Buddha Sakyamuni, and according to the history, as you all know, he was born in northern India, and that is at the Chinese Zhou Dynasty, between the Emperor Zhou Zhaowang and the Emperor Zhou Huwang, and he lived about 79 years of age. He has dedicated his life to teach Buddhism for about 49 years, and after he entered into Nirvana, 1,000 years later, Buddhism transmitted into mainland China, that is the whole Han Dynasty time. We first need to understand what is Buddha and what is Dhamma. What is Buddha Dhamma and what is Buddhism? First of all, Buddha is the name translated from ancient Sanskrit, which means wisdom and enlightenment, and many other meanings. But why don't we just call that wisdom and enlightenment instead of call Buddha? Because Buddha has numerous meanings. If we only use these two key words, wisdom and enlightenment, it's not sufficient to describe such a being, great being. So we simply follow the same name called Buddha, and with explanation. The meaning of Buddha can be explained from the essence and also from its function point of view. From its essence, it basically means wisdom. From the aspect of function, it means realization or enlightenment. Let's talk about the essence of wisdom, which includes three types of wisdom. That's so-called or wisdom or prajna. Or the second category of wisdom, also contained in the essence, is the true seed wisdom. And the third type of wisdom contained in essence is called all seed wisdom. I'm translating from the word literally. So to give interpretation, we have the meaning for the first one of all-knowing wisdom, which means to thoroughly and properly understand the truth of the whole universe. The second one, the true seed wisdom means to understand not only the phenomena of the universe, but knowing how was the things created, processed, and finally what are the results. To know them precisely, that's called the two seed wisdom. And the last one is all seeds wisdom is to perfectly understand the whole universe and life without a doubt, without erroneous observation. From the aspect of function point of view, Buddha means the great enlightenment. He also has three categories to describe the enlightenment: self-enlightenment, enlighten others, and perfect enlightenment of all, self and others. That three categories. The first one, to totally enlightened, can be achieved by the Theravada Buddhists. They reach so-called Arahanthood. They have perfect enlightenment for individual. For the Mahayana Buddhists, when they reach enlightenment, they also have tremendous compassion to help others to be enlightened. For those who has desire to be enlightened, he will help them. That is to enlighten others. And the third is a perfect enlightenment of all. That is to enlighten oneself and enlighten others, and such activity has reached its perfection. Just like Christianity said, the all-knowing Almighty God. And that is also true for Buddha. His action to enlighten others has reached a perfect state. That is what we call Buddha. And what did he enlighten about? In the Flower Adorned Sutra, it says, all sentient beings has Buddha nature, has capability and potentiality to become enlightened, and as a matter of fact, are originally Buddhas. However, due to wandering thoughts and attachment, we lost our Buddha nature and become the unenlightened sentient beings. Therefore, the suffering of infinite cycle of life and death, so-called reincarnation, the vexations in daily life, all come from the problem pointed out in Buddha's statement, that is, wandering thoughts and attachment. If one can remove a little bit of wandering thoughts and attachment, one will gain a little bit of freedom. If one can completely remove wandering thoughts and attachment, then one returns to the original enlightened Buddha nature. When we say Buddha Dhamma together, which means the great enlightenment and great wisdom, that is the Buddha aspect, and the object of Buddha means all things and all activities, that is the meaning of Dhamma. And Dhamma does not mean just 10,000 things, 10,000 people, beings, and 10,000 activities. But that 10,000 in Chinese is just to indicate infinite, numerous. So when we say small or mini world, small body like a part of a hair can be that small. When we say mini miniature world, which can be very small, where the small body is relying upon or live in. One is the subject, one is the environment the subject is living or dwelling on. But no matter the subject or object, no matter how small, these are all considered in a broader sense as Dhamma. So, the enlightenment and wisdom is infinity. The object of enlightenment called Dhamma also are infinity. And that together means Buddha Dhamma. And we must know all these, although infinity in nature, are nothing but your ultimate nature, the Buddha nature. It's all coming out from there. There's another concept which may be difficult to understand. The subject, which is the enlightened being, the great Buddha, and the Dhamma, which is all the object that the enlightened being is enlightened about. All things, all beings, and all activities, all phenomena, they are in one and not two, not opposing against each other. Therefore, if you use your philosophical mind, try to figure out, and you'll see it makes sense. If the subject and object are dualistic against each other and not in one, then the enlightened self cannot enlighten all the subject, because they are opposing, they are not part of you. But the subject and object are ultimately one. Then when you perfect yourself, then the phenomenon, which is part of yourself, becomes totally clear. Then you know, from the philosophical point of view, it only makes sense if they are one. If they are two or three, they are opposing against each other, then the enlightenment and the subject-object will become broken into pieces and cannot be totally in one without obstacles. That's why in the Flower Adorned Sutra, it says the complete whole truth, the Dhamma universe, the Dhamma Dhatu, or the universe, is one complete whole truth. And that is to say the subject-object are completely in one, and there's no opposing or dualistic states. And the Pure Land of Ultimate Bliss, where Buddha Amitabha is there, that Pure Land is also belong to and not away from the complete one whole truth. In 1923, there's a great scholar and Buddhism teacher, Mr. Ouyang Jingwu. He has established a Buddhism Institute, the Chinese Buddhism Institute. He has educated numerous great teachers, and they have a strong influence because they are educated in that institute. In 1923, this great master, a teacher, and scholar, Ouyang Jingwu, he has made a public speech in Zhongshan University in Canton. He basically said, Buddhism is not religion, it is not philosophy. And he provided tremendous evidence and reasons. And if you have interest to study why, the article was collected by Mr. Wang, and it's in Chinese and it's available. Buddhism, the definition of Buddhism is Buddha's education, and it's not a religion from its original meaning. Because the content of this education are infinite. From time point of view, it covers past, present, and the future. From the space point of view, it covers all universe, all infinite universe, and not just what happened on Earth. So it is the wisdom education. The famous Confucius of China, he is a great educator, but he teach people how to be a good being in this world for just one lifetime, the current life. Don't mention about the past lives or the future lives. But Buddha, so education covers three times: the past, the present, and the future. So you may wonder, Buddhism, not a religion, but it's an education. Is that really true? Well, I'll give you the examples from many aspects and to explain why it is really, or originally, it was for education. The title we call Sakyamuni is the original teacher Buddha Sakyamuni. That title we mention pretty frequent in Chinese, among Chinese Buddhists. That already tells you clearly it is the teacher. It's a great teacher to teach you everything, and it's the original teacher that is capable to do that. It's the founder of such education. That's, we call him the original teacher, Buddha Sakyamuni. And the so-called disciple is not a proper translation. In Chinese, we call that 弟子, which literally means, in ancient Chinese, the student. So, this relationship in Buddhism is really the teacher and student, and not a religion. There's nothing like God to be worshipped and disciple who follow God's words. Thus, that kind of relation is not in original Buddhism's educational viewpoint or system. And then, what is the relationship between the so-called student, the Buddhist, and other great Bodhisattva? The Bodhisattvas are classmates or students also. They are senior students ahead of us. We are the junior students. That's why we are the students of original teacher Buddha Sakyamuni, that kind of relationship. And I also want to point out other terminology. From that, you know, it was nothing like religious sense. It was all for education. The so-called monk is not a good translation. In Chinese, it's called a hesha. Hesha means the direct mentor who provide direct teachings, like your personal guiding professor teach you a thesis on a frequent basis. That's the original meaning of hesha. And the other type of teacher is called asali, which means in the same school there are more than one teacher, but those who do not teach you directly, however, their statement, their actions and activities can be used as a sample. Good example for you are called asali. That's basically teacher in an indirect sense. And then look at another evidence of so-called temple. It is actually a place for education and a place of museum. So in ancient time, it was already providing artistic teaching approach, approach of artistic teaching in the temple. It was not really for worship, and I will explain in detail why it was like a museum, why it's like a classroom.
那么从寺院的组织也能看出来，跟现在的学校完全相同。和尚就相当于一个校长一样，一个寺院只有一个人称和尚。 不可以说每一个出家人称和尚，那就错了，那完全错了。只有一个人称和尚，和尚是主持教学政策的，比如课程他安排的，老师是他请的，这个是和尚的责任，他是校长。下面呢有三个帮助他的人，佛家称为纲领之司，就是底下有三个。 这个分三个部门，第一个呢是管教务的，叫守座和尚，守座管教；维诺管训导，建院管总务。你看看，我们只是名词不相同，实际上他管的事情啊，跟你们现在学校里面像这个教务训导总务啊，没有两样啊。 它的结构确确实实是一个学校，而且是一个非常完整的学校，这就是我们中国过去的这些丛林。丛林实际上用现在的话来讲就是佛教大学。首座是教务啊，维纳是训导。训导。好，先念总务。对。From
the system and its terminology, it clearly stated it is an educational system. The monk, translated originally, it should not should be translated as monk. Monk is general term of a priest. The Hesang is what we call in the temple, and there's only one person can be called Hesang, which is equivalent to principal of any school, and there's only one principal. Person in charge of all the educational systems and have all the ultimate responsibility. And under him, there are three executive Hesang, three executive personnel. It's called a 手座和尚, who is in charge of the teaching activities. And the second one is 为纳和尚, who is in charge of the students' conduct. And the third one is called 监院和尚, who is in charge of all other miscellaneous things and activities.
那三个叫二舍离。
Oh, it's not called it's called a 手座, 阿舍离, in charge of the teaching activities, and 为纳, 阿舍离, in charge of personal conducts, and then 监院, 阿舍离, in charge of all other miscellaneous things. And this so-called temple is really, in ancient time, looking by the structure and system, like a Buddhist university. So since ancient time, the Buddhism was designed and was always supposed to be an educational system. Unfortunately, today it appears on earth in four different types. And they've been deviated from original intention and educational system. We talk about two kinds first, and then the other last two we're going to mention. The ancient time, there are 8 hours for the student in the temple university to study about the philosophy and theory, and then another 8 hours for cultivation, namely meditation to contemplate and digest what you learn on the theory part. Number two, primarily, will be chanting Buddha name as cultivation. So altogether, they spent 16 hours. And by doing so, one have right understanding and proper practice. One put the right philosophy and the theory into practice. And to really see that for yourself, to eventually become enlightened and pure of one's thinking, conduct, and everything. Unfortunately, this can seldom be seen in today's temple or Buddhist universities. The second one is a deviated Buddhism, the religious Buddhism. And we have seen so many of that, so it's difficult for us to deny that the Buddhism is not a religion, because people come and make offering. They don't do much chanting or cultivation. They don't understand the theory. They don't do what ancient time used to do. They just come here and bow and request for blessing. And that's it. The one that people will criticize, it is a religion. Now we're going to talk about the third one and the fourth one. The third type is also a deviate Buddhism called academic Buddhism. And people treat that as a method to study philosophy, or just to study philosophies, and thinking Buddhism is nothing but a philosophy of Chinese or ancient style. This is incorrect, because original teaching or education of Buddha Dhamma is to cover everything, not just the philosophy, psychology, martial arts, and everything, including past time, present time, and future time, including anything that you feel to eternal phenomena, and nothing to be left out. If you only call that philosophy, it's like a university of instead of a university of all departments, but only a department of philosophy. That's why this is also incorrect. I personally been teaching academic Buddhism for 5 years. But that's not a true Buddhism. The last one is very sad. It's called the outer and evil path. I don't even want to call it Buddhism. Because it happens only the last 30, 40 years. They utilize the weaknesses and ignorance of human nature, human mind, to take advantage of that and causing problems of the society. They do have some activities and statement sounds very unique and beautiful, but once you become part of their path or organization, you will feel sorry later on and it's too late. So we must ask ourselves to practice and to learn Buddha Dhamma, which one of the four types I want to do. The religious Buddhism, at least, as in general with other religion, to basically teach people to be good and stay out of evil. So that's not too bad. The academic philosophy is also to gain philosophical knowledge. It's not that bad. But the last one is really evil and out of path. You can be totally lost. So therefore, we need to examine ourselves. If I'm going to practice Buddha Dhamma, which type I should follow? This supreme goal, or the highest goal in Buddhism education, is the proper, equal, and supreme enlightenment. I'm going to explain the different level of this enlightenment. They are religious person and also philosophers who do see a certain portion of truth about the universe and about life. But their realization is not proper because the vexation still remains and not totally cut off. And the so-called five poisons, the craving desire, anger, delusive thinking or ignorance, and the fourth one, arrogance, and the last one, doubt. And all these so-called five poisons or mental defilements has not been completely eradicated from the mind. Therefore, although they do see a portion of the truth about the universe and life, that's not proper realization. And in Buddhism, for those who has reached this level, cut off five vexations, there's a degree awarded to them. It's called Arahant. That's a degree. And a higher level, and that's the first degree when you study Buddhism and graduate from Buddhism's university, so to speak. That's the first degree. The last level of degree is called Bodhisattva. And the highest degree is called the Buddha. And now I'm going to explain to you what is corresponding to the second and highest degree. The next level is called equal and proper realization. That is the level of Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva, they have the real mind compared with Arahant. Arahant has seen the mind, but it's still a false mind. It's like a moon still there, but it's not seeing directly, yet it reflects from the moon, I mean from the water. Or like a flower reflected from the mirror. It is a flower, but not direct flower, but a reflection of the flower. On the other hand, average people who are not even rich Arahants are using, on a daily basis, a false mind. Therefore, when people say they like you, they love you, don't take too serious, because they are using the false mind. They love you and tomorrow they divorce you. Why? It's very natural. It's a false mind functioning. If you think it's real, you'll be suffered. For the Arahant, they do see the reflection of the real mind. But still, Bodhisattva has higher level. They are the true real mind. It's called equal realization or enlightenment, but not identical. It is like the moon in a lunar calendar, first, second few days until the 14th before it becomes completely full moon. The light coming from the moon is real. It is real, just like real mind. However, it's not perfect. And Buddha is real and is perfect. That's why it's symbolized as a full moon. That is the difference between Bodhisattva and Buddha. Therefore, it's also like a similar to the educational system. When you have the first degree, BS degree, it's called Arahant in Buddhism. The second level degree, equivalent to Master's degree, is called Bodhisattva. And their mind is real, and there are many levels of Bodhisattva. And then, the highest degree in educational system is PhD, that is called Buddha in Buddhism, in traditional true Buddhism. And no matter which level, it is basically to approach to complete realization of the truth and to perfect the wisdom. That is what educational system try to bring people to or imagine people about. So we can also say that Buddhism is to cut off all superstitions or delusive thinking and confusion and to obtain enlightenment or realization. And also Buddhism is to help being to away from eliminate all the sufferings and obtain ultimate peace or happiness. Because